We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
First of all, I got a chance when I retired in 07. I was doing some work with those guys in Rovin and was in the clubhouse, in the coach's room, in the dugout, and really got to know Boch. I played against him when he was managing, obviously, in San Diego. And then to see him work in San Francisco and the way he treated his coaches and his players and the way, you know, the just his overall philosophy and being in the dugout with him during games and seeing how he, you know, pulled the trigger on decisions and things like that was really impressive. And number one, like I said, he's a great guy. And I play in a golf tournament every year down in San Diego, and he comes out and hangs out with us. And he's one of the guys, and there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. 3 World Series titles. You talk to any of his coaches or players, and nothing but respect. Doesn't throw guys under the bus. Very careful about what he says. And for a manager that was pre sabermetrics and managing by your gut and by your feel, I think he's one of the last of a dying breed. So Boch is awesome. I mean, pokes fun at himself, can get down on the player's level, and it's going to be sad to see him go. I didn't think that he would have that kind of run when he came to San Francisco. I don't think anybody thought that. You know, he was in San Diego a little. You can get a little obscure down there, but he's turned that place around. And I like to think that my generation had a little bit of a start on it when we were playing for Dusty and the guys that we played with, getting a World Series and having the success. But he just kept it rolling, taking over after Felipe. So awesome guy, very, very happy for him, and he gets to enjoy life now.
Have we reached a point in Major League Baseball where the personality manager is gone the way of the dodo bird? We don't even really have arguments anymore where the manager storms out, because now we got to wait for instant replay, and you've got players on Snapchat and on their Facebook and whatnot. Are we reaching a point now where it's going to be a different type of man, or perhaps even a woman someday, as a manager in MLB?
I think it is. I think you're right. And I don't think there's – I watched some interviews last night with Boch, and just like I said earlier, the fact that he could manage on his gut and make a call, and, you know, it takes a real man, a real pro's pro to make decisions during a game. And if they don't work out, to have to stand up to all the media and the questions now. And we've kind of lost that. And I think a lot of the game now is being sent down, you know, from the top with lineups and – the way you who pitches to who and how you position guys, and there's so much information that I think you're right. I think there's a lot of micromanaging by everybody around, and the day of the manager, you know, running out there and kicking dirt and covering up home plate, turn his hat backwards and getting in the umpire's face is kind of lost because of the reviews, the time it takes, and it kind of kills. You know, it's kind of a little buzzkill. It kind of kills the situation when you're watching a game and you want some fire and some energy because you got to sit around and wait. But it's a sign of our times, I guess. It's a little different. And I'm just glad that I play when I did, because it was a time when you could let your emotion, your personality come out and do things by instinct and do it by your gut.
How is this going to hurt the game? With the older guys, the old skippers, the old soldiers are dying out of the game. And how is it going to help the game in baseball? Is it in better hands now? And how do you find that happy balance in order to keep a sport alive?
I think baseball has survived a lot of different things. I went through, you know, the strike that canceled the World Series. I was a young player and didn't know what was going on, and it survived that. And now we're, you know, we survived the steroid era when I was playing, and the numbers are off the charts, and now it's the sabermetrics era where everything is kind of planned out. But baseball will survive. It's the greatest game. And, you know, I heard you guys talking a little bit about when I was waiting to come on about a coach and a player, and Brady without Belichick and Walsh without Montana and those things. And I'm such a firm believer in that. I've never seen a great coach or manager be successful with bad players. So you got to have good players to be a good manager. But the one thing why baseball will survive is those other sports, if you think about it, they can, in football, you can call a play and make a guy successful or put him in the right position. And in basketball, you can run a play to get your best player open. You can sit him down. Football, he can come off the field for defense. But in baseball, why I think it's the best game is that you go up there on your own. There's no game plan. There's no book. And you got to react to what the pitcher throws you. And as a pitcher, you got to go get a guy out. And the manager and the coaches can't really do a whole lot for you because you can't call a play. And you can't take a timeout. And you can't sit a guy down on the bench for a couple innings and put him back in the game. So I think that's the great thing about our sport. Why it will always be good, because it's one-on-one and you have to play both offense and you have to play both defense. And there's decisions to be made during a game. And I saw Boach do it with the best of them. Most people don't realize when they're watching a baseball game how quick the decisions have to be made in that dugout. Do I take the pitcher out? Do I pinch hit? Do we bring the lefty in? And those are things that why baseball is such a great game and people can second guess it and hindsight and all that. But he's one of the best at it. And the way he ran the bullpen and all that stuff. So baseball's in good hands. It's going to survive. And I know they're trying to speed up the rules and do all that, which I'm in favor of, speed the game up. We also have to realize that the commercials are longer on TV and there's more pitching changes. And so there's no doubt it's going to survive. It's in a good place right now. And I still love watching it, and I still get excited to watch the postseason, and I think it's all going to be good.
16-year MLB veteran, 6-time Gold Glove winner, former Giants first baseman JT Snow with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JT, we know you're a busy guy. We really appreciate the time this morning. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and it's one last thing. It's going to be exciting to see that job opening for that manager spot. There's going to be a lot of good candidates wanting to take over because San Francisco is a great place. And I know that I would be excited to get back into coaching and get on with the Giants and do that. So I think it's going to be a great search, and they got a big task on their hands to find the right guy to lead that organization into the future. So it's going to be fun to watch, and a lot of guys putting in their resume for that job. So it'll be exciting. So, but thanks for having me on. Guys do a great job. We'll talk to
JT,
you.
JT, hold on one second. Are you coming on Joe Lowe and Dibs and officially throwing your hat into the ring for the managerial job of the San Francisco Giants?
No, not at all. I don't.
Come on.
We're going to speculate wildly once you hang up.
Snow the front runner.
No, I don't have any. I don't have any managing experience.
It doesn't matter.
I would love to. I've been out of the game for a few years now. I would love to get back on the field, and the time is right. Kids are in college, empty nester, and like I said, love the game and love San Francisco. So we'll see what happens. I'm ready to. I missed the game. I'm ready to get back into it, I was around when they won those championships as an advisor, and it'd be fun to do that again. So. No manage. I think a perfect job is like first base coach, maybe infield instructor, sit there and work with the guys and maybe add a little bit to the hitting, and just it's fun to work with the players. I mean, it's a great game, and so we'll see where it goes. But no managing. Too much stress.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to speak with Larry Bear at 9:35. Maybe we'll subtly hint that JT Snow is interested in contributing in some way, shape, or form moving forward. How's that sound?
That'd be great.
You got it. All right, JT Snow, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, JT.
See ya.
He's a sure in now with all the billions of listeners, Joe.
I know that. I mean, it's like now. I mean, you're going to run out. Boone in New York, Francona, all of them. They're all going to get fired. Billions of people just heard that he threw his hat into the ring.
I'm shocked, Dibs, you didn't have the truck backing up, because he backed that one up pretty quick.
No, he's in it. He's in it. You don't want to, you know, Bruce is just announcing his retirement. You have a long way till October. You got to ease your way into the water.
And we're past that. It's, we talked about that for 2 hours.
Thank
now, what's
you.
Next? Is what? This the most important hire in the history of Bay Area sports? 888-957-9570. Just kidding. Actually, the number 74. We're going to explain why that is the most important number to you moving forward.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
World Series champion and three-time manager of the year, Jim Leland, is going to join us in about 11 minutes here on Joe Lowendibs. Here's how the rest of the show is going to shake down. 9:10 a.m., John Morosi, MLB insider for both Fox Sports and the MLB Network, and just added, so mark it down, 9:35, Giants president and CEO Larry Bear. Here with your boys, Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. That will take place in a little over an hour at 9:35. We were going to ask him about Bochy, but now suddenly this JT Snow managerial campaign, it's snowballing, pun intended, and I feel as if we have to get on that train.
That's for your pun. You deserve some praise for that. That was you got
really
the light applause.
The bar low around here.
That was good. It was an impromptu. It was an impromptu line. It is snowballing. So, Bruce, you had a nice run as your retirement story is now gone. It's JT Snow. How viable? React on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 999.
It is cool that he wants to get involved. Yeah. To be clear, he does not want to be the manager of the Giants, but he does feel as if he's ready to jump back into baseball. The timing's right. So we'll ask Larry Bear about that and more as we move forward. As we look backward on the remarkable career that is one Bruce Bochy's time with the San Francisco Giants, you can't help but focus on one little thing that's going to be coming more and more prominent as we get closer towards the start of the season. Bruce Bochy, currently 11th all-time with 1,926 wins. The 10 guys ahead of him are all in the Hall of Fame. And every manager with three or more World Series is already in the Hall of Fame as well. There are nine guys outside of Boch that have won three or more World Series as managers. They're already in Cooperstown. So suffice it to say, today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Is Bruce Bochy a first ballot Hall of Famer? The answer is yes. But go to the website, 957thegame.com, and vote no, just to make it interesting. Have a bunch of people go to the website. What? No. Anywho, to get to 2,000 wins, Bochy's going to need 74 victories this season. 74 wins will get him to 2,000. 74 wins also, for those of you who tuned in yesterday, know that that would be an overbet for the San Francisco Giants on their Vegas season win total. Those numbers surfaced in Vegas over the weekend. The Giants came out at 73.5, almost bang on the number of what Bochy needs to get to 2,000. 73.5 is the over-under. For those who aren't familiar with how it works, you either bet over 73.5 wins or under. And if the Giants win 74 or more, over bets pay. 73 or fewer, under bets pay. 74 wins to get to 2,000. This is probably the type of thing, Lo, you have to imagine will make its way around the clubhouse. Can you use this as motivation to perhaps win a few more games this season than many are expecting you to do?
Why not? Any motivation, any means necessary. And here's a team that we understand that doesn't have a lot of great hitting, doesn't have a lot of big bats. This team will be pressed to have anybody on the roster that's going to hit 25 or 20 home runs. It's going to be hard. So I think that this will be a rallying call, especially when you think about here's a manager that's won three titles. Here's a guy that the players love. You look at Madison, all the guys that's still on this team, they love this guy, Posey. I think without a doubt, Joe, yesterday when that announcement was made, I think guys said, okay, let's go. I really believe that this is a team now. I didn't think that they would. I would have said maybe the under. But now after your manager and your skipper make that announcement he is going to retire after the season, I can totally see guys playing a little extra. I can totally see guys, you know, maybe my hamstring's a little tight. But you know what? I'm going out there and playing anyway. Let's win one for now. Let's win for the skipper. So I think that that is going to come in the cause. And without a doubt, I think players say, okay, let's get to 74. After 74, let's continue this thing. But I think now, that is a realistic goal, and let's say, guys, let's skin out the skipper the right way. So without a doubt, now I'm more on that over. Yes.
Hashtag summer 74. I mean, you're projected at 73.5. I threw that up on social media Sunday when the numbers came out, and immediately just about every Giant fan who's following me tells me, bet the under, right? I think the anticipation this year is that the team's going to struggle a bit. But now, Boach makes this announcement. Suddenly you're wondering, how's it going to be received in the clubhouse? I mean, you know Posey and Bumgarner aren't going to let him go out like that. They're not going to just watch this thing take on more water after more water to the point where it sinks in July and it's an absolute train wreck. You don't send out a Hall of Famer like that. That doesn't mean you're going to make a run of the World Series, but you got to figure there might be something to this, Dibs.
It's interesting you just said that, though, Joe, because I was thinking about the Posey and Bumgarner factors, because Madison Bumgarner may not be here come August 1st. If you're in a situation where the team is struggling and you're Farhan Zaidi, you're not looking at this solely as Bruce Bochy's last stand. You're also trying to do what? Rework this club for the future. So if you're sitting 30 and 50 as you're creeping toward the All-Star break, you're not thinking about, oh, I need 44 more wins for Bochy. You're thinking, what can I get for Madison Bumgarner? Maybe Bumgarner's 9-3 at the All-Star break, but the Giants are 10 games below 500. All of a sudden, Bumgarner might be shopped if he's not a part of their future plans.
I don't see him shopping now. I think this
that's my point, Lo, is I don't think that Farhan Zaidi is going to operate under the sphere of, I need to keep him in order to have him be here for Bruce Bochy. Because if you get to the end of the year and Madison Bumgarner is not a part of your future plans, what then? He leaves as a free agent and you don't get anything in return. And this is an organization that is desperate for some prospects and some minor league help. So to me, it's a fascinating question. As you get close to the deadline, what will Farhan Zaidi do as it relates to Madison Bumgarner in light of this last year for Bruce Bochy?
Do you believe this now is a foregone conclusion that at trade line deadline because they want to get something? You think without a doubt now Madison is going to be traded?
No, I think it's just to be determined.
A serious, shocking run to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's moved.
Maybe Farhan Zaidi is a guy who sees him as a piece that they want to build around. That's a possibility as well, that maybe Bumgarner pitches well and they decide, hey, you know, we're going to give you 5 years and $100 million. We want you to stay in the fabric as a San Francisco Giant. I don't think Zaidi's yet tipped his hand either way on how he feels about Bumgarner.
And I think that's why I think that Bumgarner now, I think that, that they're going to try to figure something out. Because of the fact now you're
due
like,
to the information that Bochy announced yesterday that he will be retiring after this
year. And my reasoning behind that is earlier, Joe, you talked about, hey, look, you could press rebuild and it'll look horrible. The organization said, hey, look, they talked to him, want you for this year. We're moving in a new direction. But if you came out and fired the skipper, what are you doing? Now you're bringing in someone else. It wouldn't be a good look for the Giants in the organization. Now you have a situation where if he gets there and say, man, why would he do that to, you know, it's Bochy's last year, it's the skipper's last year. Why would you trade Madison? You want that kind of fresh start? I think now you're ready to ride with this guy. I think Madison Bumgarner is going to, I think he's going to end up being here now. I really do.
Can you afford to operate an organization like that? Not saying it's right or wrong, but can that be the way in which you operate your organization? I think heading into this year, they were pretty much aware of the fact that it was going to be Bochy's last season. So now just because Bochy announced it, you think you change course on what your belief may have been regarding Bumgarner?
I think you alter your course a little bit. You're still going to go out there and bring in free agents and bring in guys and hopefully your team get better. But Madison Bumgarner is a good pitcher. And you look at the guys, so you can go out and bring in some rookie guys or bring in some young talent. But does that necessarily, is a bird in hand better than two in the bush? Bird in hand, they say, is better than two in the bush. So now I can go out and get prospects and maybe think that these guys are going to turn out to Madison Bumgarner. But Madison Bumgarner, barring injury, he's a hell of a pitcher. So now it's a situation where, hey, can I build around him for the next 5 years? Hey, I'm already losing my skipper, but here's a guy that people love. He puts butts in his seats. We like to see what he can do. And now I'm saying, I'm going to keep him for the next 5 years because what are we going to go out and get? Are we going to go out and get better? Is these guys going to come back and be better? So now it's a situation, yeah, you're still in a rebuild, but now you still have a face. Because Posey's getting older. Posey can't do it, but Madison still can for years. So you can look at it and say, no, let's keep this guy as a fixer.
All right, so let's put our GM hats on. Let's pretend we're making the decisions here. Let's start with this assessment. How many years away are we, because that's what we'll say since we're the GM of the San Francisco Giants, to get 3-for-1 deal? And they just paid Zaidi a lot of money for one. You're getting three of us for nothing here. Pretty sweet, right up until you realize we really don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, unqualified.
We'll make it sound good, though. We're going to make it sound real good here. So just you wait and see. How many years are we away from being, let's say, legitimate contenders? Not for the World Series, but like a legitimate team that's going to hang around a playoff berth just about all year, make the move, get into the postseason, and then, hey, anything happens. Now, I'm not saying we're the Red Sox or the Astros, but I'm saying, you know, Cardinals like last year, right? A team that's right there in the thick of it. How many years are we away from that?
I think just 2 years, because you look at the contracts that we as the Giants front office are going to be able to get rid of over the next couple of seasons, and that's going to help us to go out and get some more free agents. Plus, if we continue to struggle, we're likely going to be picking at the top of the draft, and we like what we got with Joey Bart coming in, and hopefully by next year, he'll be able to be up here on a full-time basis. So I think you look at this year and you look at next year as the rebuild seasons. By 2021, I think that's when we can be in position again to make a push for the playoffs.
Yikes, that's fast.
It's got to be fast, Coach.
Well, I'd like to believe so as well, but what's your outfield look like in 2 years? Where's Belt in 2 years? Where's Panic in 2 years? Where's Crawford in 2 years? Bumgarner will be entering his age 32 season, which he can still make a serious impact there at that point, but you really think they could get this thing organized in 2 years? I mean, this year is just going to be a mess.
Right. This is the year of the, you know, changing out the deck chairs, so to speak. And you see that Farhan Zaidi is building it from the bottom of the roster upward. You're bringing in inexpensive younger players, trying to see if they can hold the water. But I think you look in a couple of years from now, Crawford is still in the mix. If you think Bumgarner can still be an elite pitcher, he stays in the mix. You got Joey Bart up here as a catcher. You move Buster to first base. Belt's probably elsewhere. Panic's probably elsewhere. And your outfield, unless these three young outfielders really show that they're worth getting that many at-bats, you're probably finding a new outfield as well.
All right, we can jump back into this in just a little bit. But right now, we're going to the phones. Very happy to welcome in a World Series champion and three-time manager of the year, the former skipper in Pittsburgh, Miami, Colorado, and Detroit, Jim Leland, joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Skip, how are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're doing well, and we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining on. The show today has been focused on the career of one Bruce Bochy. He announced yesterday that 2019 will be his final season. You know, so many images come to mind when you think of Boch, the three World Series. But for me, it's really stability. In the amount of time since he took over in San Francisco until now, the rest of Major League Baseball has gone through 121 different individuals who have managed at least one game. I mean, how hard is it to string together 13 straight years with one team and 25 straight years overall?
Well, I think obviously that's very difficult to do. You're probably not going to see that happen again in today's game. But, you know, I think it's such a wonderful organization. And along with Boch, I credit Ryan Sabian so much. I think that they both created a stability there. I think, you know, they've obviously done a wonderful game. But they're baseball guys, you know, they're ABC guys. And they've absolutely been tremendous for the game. I have the utmost respect for both Brian and Bruce. And Bruce is a friend of mine, you know, an opponent, but a friend of mine. And one of the great managers, no question about it. And you're right. His consistency and the steady hand that he influenced that organization with might not be seen again, to be honest with you.
Is baseball changing to the point where we might not see managers like yourself, like Bruce Bochy again, the old school guys who were able to manage by feel? Is analytics making it to where we're going to have a different type of manager here going forward?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I don't mind when people call me old, but I don't like it when they call me old school, because I think we're all, including Boch, I think we're all willing to learn, and we all learn something all the time. I mean, it doesn't matter how long you manage, you always see something that you've never seen before. So I think that, you know, we're all willing to adjust to the modern day type style and everything. But at the end of the day, I think the only problem that I see is that we got to be careful that we don't get so consumed with information that we forget about the player.
Sure.
That's the thing that I think can be dangerous. But as far as, you know, I think it's great. I mean, it's 2019. There's adjustments to be made, you know, whether there was a DH brought in at one time, there's lowering amount. Anytime there's change, people, you know, it sends up a red flag. I don't necessarily think that's healthy. I think it's good sometimes when there's change and new ideas and, you know, new energy and stuff like that. But it doesn't mean, you know, there's a lot of smart young people in the game today, to be honest with you. But don't forget something. There's a lot of smart older people in the game, too.
Well, Jim, well said. I could not agree with you more. And how do you, as a older
person around the game. How do you convey that message to a world that's moving so fast, not just in baseball with the analytics, but just in everything? How do you let them know that, hey, look, we're not computers. We can look at analytics and all those numbers. We saw what happened with LA, you know, LA and the World Series because of pitching match. Instead of going with the gut, and then once you play your guys, it was too late. Sometimes those instincts have to be accounted for, and how do you keep that balance in a game that's changing?
Well, I think that's the most important thing, to balance of it. I think I've always liked the information. I've always had every bit of information I could have prior to going into a series or a season or against particular teams, whatever it was. And I think the key is, which a lot of the analytical people are saying to their credit, is exactly it's information. It's how you use that information. How does it pertain to your team? How does it pertain to the guy that's pitching that night? And I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that it's still a game played by human beings. You can have all this information you want, and you can say, you know, well, you can pitch this guy here. Well, you know, that's great, but the human element doesn't allow the pitcher to throw the pitch where he wants all the time. They make mistakes. I mean, it's a game played by human beings, and I think I've always said this. I try to tell the young guys, and like I said, I'm older, obviously, but I try to tell the young guys, I think you can always have a plan for a game going in, but you can't script the game. And I think that's what they're trying to do a little bit more, maybe a little bit too much of that. You can't really script the game. You can have your plans for the game, but you can't script the game.
Well said. Three-time Manager of the Year Jim Leland with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. What do you make of the scenario playing out right now in free agency regarding Bryce Harper and Manny Machado? We've been talking about these two getting to the open market for almost 3 years now. They're finally here, but it doesn't really seem to be going their way.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think it's going to end up all right for everybody. I think, you know, I don't know if it's true or not. So you never know for sure if all the rumors are true or not. But there was a rumor, a strong rumor, and I've never seen it denied, you know, that Bryce was offered $300 million at one point by the Washington Nationals. That's a pretty good offer. You know, so I think it's, you know, I think it's a little bit different. I do think you're going to see where – these younger general managers, they're very bright, they're very smart, they study all the statistical stuff, and I think you're going to see where they're seeing that the long-term contracts, maybe not so much for the Harpers and Machado, so they're younger, but as guys get a little older, I think the days of the long-term contracts are over. I think they're seeing where the players start to decline age-wise, physically, and I think, you know, I just think that that's probably not going to happen again.
When you look at Major League Baseball and the Commissioner Rob Manfred and some of the proposed changes, whether it's a pitch clock or changing the way that rosters can be comprised and the amount of pitchers in a game, do you think that this is corrupting what baseball has relied on for too much, or do you see these as positive changes for a changing audience?
I think there's some positive changes myself. I think Rob is just trying to stay ahead of the curve. I think one of Rob's big things is the pace of game. I agree 100% with the pitch clock, and I also think that you know, I know a lot of people are going to fight that at first, but I think, you know what? They lowered the mound. You know, people fought it for a week. They put the DH in. People fought it for a week. When's the last time you heard them talking about, you know, six visits to the mound? You know, they complained a little bit at the start of that. Nobody even talks about that anymore. It's just once you people get used to things, and you know what else I kind of truly believe, and I don't know, I maybe shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I really think the players themselves are not happy with the pace of the game. I've been in dugouts where I've actually heard players say, my God, is this game ever going to get over? So I think, you know, I think that they're good changes. And I think Rob's doing a great job. I think you got to be creative. You got to stay ahead of the curve. And I think at the end of the day, you just do things that make common sense. And I think that he's doing a great job. And I think people make adjustments. You know, there's, you know, like you say, it's 2019. They're making adjustments with all these other things in baseball with the sabermetrics and analytics. What's wrong with making adjustments with some of the rules if you think it's going to take the game forward?
Sure.
And that's what Commissioner Manfred is trying to do.
Jim, you talked about older players not necessarily getting these long-term deals anymore. Could you see it be structured different where it's a long-term deal, the base is maybe a lot lower, but then it's incentivized if players – likely to be earned, can they do more of that if they hit batting averages? So well, then they can fight the aging process. They can look at numbers and say, if you do this, do you think that's where teams will go, or do you think that's far-fetched?
No, I don't think that's far-fetched at all. I think that's a possibility. I also think that and I know nothing about this because it's certainly not my expertise at all, but I would assume that there will be some conversations in the next agreement probably about moving free agency up, you know, to where it's not a six-year thing. In other words, maybe the player would become eligible to be a free agent maybe a year sooner or something, you know, to kind of compensate for the age situation. So, and I don't know that. I'm just talking. But, you know, I think that's a possibility that the players might try to, you know, get something like that in the next agreement.
Jim Leland with us here on 95.7 The Game. You had a lot of success as the manager for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. You guys took home the gold medal. Are you considering, you know, maintaining that position with the club in 2021?
No, I don't think so. I want to be 76, 77 years old. I think that'll be – there's some really good guys that are probably going to be out there and eligible to do that. I think that's probably – you know, I hope that I can participate in it somehow by maybe helping Joe Torre, you know, and the commissioner get players, you know, to perform. I'd like to be a part of it, but I'm probably certainly not going to manage it. I think that's, you know, somebody younger probably than me will probably do that. I don't know that, but, you know, but I certainly would like to be involved to the point where I'd like to help Joe, you know, round up the players and talk to the players about it and somehow be involved in it.
Do you like the idea of possibly Bruce Bochy taking over?
Well, that'll be up to Boch, but I know one thing. If Boch is available, they won't be asking Jim Leland to do it.
Three-time manager of the year, World Series champion, former skipper in Pittsburgh, Miami, Colorado, and Detroit, the great Jim Leland with us here on 95.7 The Game. Skip, we really appreciate the time this morning. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're the best, Jim.
Oh, man. Great memories of that dude going way back. Not going to ask him about it, but, you know, you catch him smoking a heater in the dugout, it's like, oh yeah, lawless.
It's the old school.
Major League Baseball.
And you look at his record, Joe, and we talk about Bruce Bochy, and obviously the three World Series makes him most likely a, quote, first ballot Hall of Famer when the today's day and age committee votes in 2021. He's getting in. But you look at Jim Leland, 17th all-time in wins, but just the one World Series. You can't help but think if he would have gotten two, maybe three, whether or not he would be a Hall of Famer. And maybe we all just rely too much on championships as the tiebreaker among these great, whether it's managers or players.
It is, right up until it isn't, right? Like, we just love to argue with one another. Championships matter because Dan Marino didn't get them, so we can't put him in the top five.
Right,
but forget
right,
about the
right.
fact that LeBron doesn't have anywhere near the rings that Jordan does. We'll go ahead and say LeBron is better than Jordan. It's like, it's whatever fits the narrative that we're trying to push for that specific day. Oh, Brady's better than Montana because he has more rings. But up until that point when they were even, we went back and forth with a variety of different things. So it's whatever. It's whatever you want it to be. One thing we hadn't mentioned this morning, there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to necessarily say sadness, but the idea that this is Bochy's last season is a bit depressing to think about all that he's done and how important he's been. But you got to figure there are going to be a lot of legends coming back to the yard throughout the course of the season. Like, you think it's coincidental that Bochy announces this, but just a few days before, he was kind of openly throwing out the idea that he'd love to see Tim Lincecum down in Scottsdale, join the team, maybe speak to the young guys. Like, you got to figure you're going to see Bonds at the park this season. You know, Willie's going to be down there, but Lincecum coming back and some of the other greats, there are going to be some big time reunions this season.
Yeah, it's going to be bittersweet too, because you also have the Peter McGowan tributes and also the Willie McCovey tributes that are undoubtedly coming, and it's going to be uniform patches. It's going to be remembrances and all that. And with Bruce Bochy in his last year, it's going to be very bittersweet for Giants fans, because you can't help but think about the next chapter and turning the page. And for Bochy to have been here now, this is his 13th year. It goes back to the days of Barry Bonds. And when Bonds was here and you were trying to figure out how to move on from Barry Bonds, you bring in Barry Zito and you give him the 7-year, $126 million contract that was seen as an albatross. And you think about Bochy managing all the way through that and then getting the three championships. And now here we are, 2019, when he's going to hang it up. It's definitely the end of an era. And so it's going to be bittersweet for Giants fans.
It will. I just hope, and I think that it will, I think that you'll see the Giants fans and players put their rallying caps on and say, let's win one for the skipper. You look at what this guy has been able to do in his illustrious career. It's been unbelievable. It's just the consistency in which
He's been able to withstand good years, bad years. But it's always, even in San Diego, you knew who was in control. Even in San Francisco, in spite of bad couple years, you knew who was running the ship. There was no questions about what the skipper was going to do. He's been true to himself. He's been true to his players. You look in Cleveland, and we talked about football, and you talked about an organization, Joe, that's not buttoned up. The how many coaches the Cleveland Browns have had. You saw a coach in Hugh Jackson, the up and down and all the different things that they would do, talking out of turn. So many guys and so many coaches, because they let their emotions and they let their, you know, start speaking ahead of term, they put themselves at risk of losing their jobs. And we've seen it because of their emotions. They don't handle the media. You see this guy. He never sells out his players. He's always there to fall on the sword. Keep it buttoned up. You don't hear leaks because why? The man that's running the organization, in spite of tough times, we knew we had a good skipper that's leading the SIP.
888-957-9570 if you want to jump in. John Morosi, MLB Insider, will join us at 9:10. Larry Bear at 9:35. Giants president and CEO Larry Bear at 9:35.
It's interesting, Joe, when we talk about Bruce Bochy in the Hall of Fame and how this might have a ripple effect on others, particularly Lou Piniella, who was one vote away in this last cycle, because they don't vote every year on the Today's Era Hall of Famers. It's twice in a five-year period, which is a little bit odd. You would
talking about for managers.
Yes, talking about for, or even players, like Harold Baines was elected through this process. If you go through your 10 years of regular eligibility and you fall short, this committee can take a look at your candidacy, the Today's Game Era, quote-unquote, and that's how Baines and Lee Smith both got in. Lee Smith got 100% of the vote from that committee. So even though they went 10 years on the ballot, or 15 in their case, and they fell short, there still is a chance that you get voted in. In this committee, you had Lou Piniella fall one vote short. He got 11 of the 16 votes, which would have gotten him in the Hall of Fame. So it made me think, what happens in 2021, which is the next time this committee will convene to look at the Today's Game Era inductees? Would it be a case where you got two managers in the same cycle, or does Bruce Bochy now leapfrog Lou Piniella and Jim Leland and other managers who had great careers but might just be a little bit short of being Hall of Fame worthy?
Well, first and foremost, think irrationally, because if they're going to put Harold Baines in, we don't want to think about what you really need to do to get in. That was insane. Harold Baines, solid player, not a Hall of Famer. They went ahead and put him in. So trying to sit here and think about what they would do, you have to bring a certain level of irrationality to it, first and foremost. Second of all, let's use just some common logic with all of this stuff when it comes to the Hall of Fame. If the guy is worthy of it, put him in. Don't screw around. You don't know what's going to happen to people. We don't live forever.
Right.
All right? You want these guys that are worthy of it to be able to enjoy the experience so that their families can enjoy the experience. The Ken Stabler situation should have shown that to everybody. That was a nightmare scenario for everyone involved. He should have been in. They all should have been able to enjoy it. Instead, it's in. And it was great to see the family. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm getting at. But, you know, obviously tragic things happen, right, like with Roy Halladay. You can't prevent all of that. But if the guy's worthy of it, put him in. Stop screwing around for years and going, well, it's, you're right, Dibs. Sweet Lou, you know, to go Bochy first. Let's go with Piniella. And Bochy's so obvious, we'll put him in the next time. No, why? That's voodoo logic. Just if the guy's good enough, put him in. It's like this the NFL every year.
Right. That's the one I was thinking about.
And we got room for five this year.
And we can't
Really? Five?
You can't have more than one receiver. And that's why we had the backlog of receivers, because we can only put in one a year, because you got to represent all the positions.
And that's what's so bad about sports at times, and especially when it comes to Hall of Fame and in each perspective sports. Why don't you just understand that if we're willing to change the rules in the games, we found out that you shouldn't hit defensive players. We go through this head-to-head, what it can cost. So if we're willing to change the rules for the games, the different games, baseball, football, basketball, why aren't we willing to change for Hall of Fame and the way they do these votings? If someone's a Hall of Famer, why don't just put them in? Why we got to put a number on something because we want to act like it's so elite? We understand it's elite.
We want there to be some level of ceremony, but yeah, you are exactly right with where you're going. To sit with this rule. Like, imagine using rules like that in wartime. Yeah. You're allowed 20 planes. Right. We're going to launch 20 planes into Germany. That's it. You might need more than 20 planes.
Yeah,
you're just going to stick with that rule, or are you going to adjust on the fly? Again, pun intended.
No. It's very strong because
that one felt good.
Yeah.
The JT Snow one was just too obvious. Sorry.
No,
please.
No,
it's just dibs.
You know
Joe.
What should
it's
you know
dibs.
What should happen? To be honest,
please.
Former players should be on these committees. I'm not saying the former players should have 100% of control of the vote for the Hall of Fame, because then you might have some rivalries
bias
and some animosity.
Yes.
But you guys know each other better than anyone else. Some of your best stories are when we ask you who were the toughest guys to go against. Very few people would remember Al Wilson the manner in which you do,
right.
But you butted heads with him every single year. And when you come out and say, Al Wilson was one of the toughest guys I ever had to go against, you got to put some weight on that.
Right.
You got to put some serious weight on that. If a guy who had to go against him every year, who was great in his own right, this being you, says that Al Wilson was great, let's think about it.
And that's where I'm at, Joe. I really believe that when you're talking about different guys, you say, okay, a cornerback, you should get the receivers, a group of great receivers, the elite receivers in that era where that guy was, and say, who was the best receiver or who was the best corner? And those guys will tell you emphatically who it is. You can get a group of linebackers and you could say, okay, who was the best running back or which was the best full? And you can find out and you'll know, because that is the group of guys that are competing against one another. Why would you ask an offensive lineman who's the best corner? Why would you ask offensive lineman?
Why would you ask a media member?
Exactly. So get these guys in their perspective deal and say, okay, this is what we're trying to find out. And those are when you get the, you'll hear the truth.
I'd agree with you. I remember I did a project. This was like 8, 9 years ago. I was writing something about the NFL, and I had the opportunity to speak with like 6 or 7 different cornerbacks that all played in the same era. And I remember talking to Al Harris. Al Harris was the first guy I spoke to about this. And one of the questions I asked was, who's one of the hardest receivers you ever had to cover? Like a name that people might not necessarily agree with. Because first and foremost, we all know Marvin Harrison is nasty, right? Like
right.
Marvin Harrison showed us that.
Right.
And if you want to say Marvin Harrison, that's great. But maybe someone else to throw in there just that we wouldn't go. He goes, I'll give you one that no one ever gives credit to. And I'm paraphrasing here, but also should be recognized for his greatness. And he goes, Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy.
He goes, Jimmy Smith was incredible. I never faced a wide receiver who was more challenging to cover than Jimmy Smith. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, Jimmy Smith. I play fantasy. I know Jimmy Smith. Jacksonville, yep. He's put up some numbers. Yep. Jimmy Smith, though, why?
Jimmy.
Because Jimmy Smith made every route look exactly the same. He goes, the key with scouting, especially at that level, when you're Al Harris and you're someone who's been around a long time, you're going to watch tape. You're going to look for tendencies. That's the whole reason you watch tape. What is this guy going to tip off? What is he going to show me that I can exploit? How can I take advantage of some tendencies, or in poker, as they would say, some tells? Study for tendencies. He said, Jimmy Smith, there were none. Every single route looked exactly the same. That's what made him so dangerous. And I remember thinking, damn, I wouldn't get that answer from virtually any media member, any fan. People remember Jimmy Smith,
right,
but no
right.
one recognizes him the way the guy who had to spend his career defending him.
No.
Remembers him. And I feel that there should be some more weight put on things like that, which to your point, 5 guys in the Hall of Fame every year. Some years there may not be 5 guys worthy.
Right.
Some years they may be 10. Why do a bunch of writers get into a room for a day on the Saturday right before the Super Bowl and tell you this is how it's going to play? I mean, these guys, they love the game. They're there for a reason, but it just feels as if when you tell me, well, you know, this isn't going to be the year for Marvin Harrison, or this isn't the year for Tim Brown because we have such a backlog. That's your fault. Figure it out.
Right.
That's a prestigious position. You have no
right.
problem leaking it on Twitter to make sure you get a bunch of retweets. So get the job right.
And that's what's interesting about this particular selection process with the today's game era. You've got 12 people who are making the decision, and they're all veteran baseball writers, guys who have been around for decades, and they've seen a lot of different managers and a lot of different players. And so I think Cooperstown is trying to do a better job of building a bridge between those players who just miss out, who maybe modern writers don't know, and allowing some of them in, and some of the ancient players who were passed over some 50 years ago, because ultimately it is a museum and you want it to be reflective of the greatest players to ever play and manage your game. And so they've tried to find different ways to use different committees to get more people involved.
Good news for Boach. He doesn't have to worry about any of this.
Right.
Like whenever the opportunity comes up, you figure if that's a no, I don't really want to know what a yes is.
Exactly.
I mean, let's look at the criteria. Every manager who's won three or more World Series is in. There are nine other ones that are all in. Bochy would be the 10th. In addition, Bochy ranks 11th in terms of total wins by a manager. The 10 guys ahead of him are all in. So you've pretty much checked every single box necessary in terms of the two biggest categories, wins and championships. What else do you want? How about the fact that since Bochy was hired on October 27th, 2006, in that time, his own division, the NL West, has had 18 other managers.
Wow.
The Dodgers, 4, the Rockies, 4, the Padres, 4, the Diamondbacks, 6. The rest of the NL has had 65 managers. The rest of Major League Baseball has seen 121 men manage at least one game. That is insane. Miami, Houston, and Seattle have all had 8 managers in the stretch of time that Bochy's been the manager of the San Francisco Giants. The only team close is the Angels, Mike Socha. That was the only manager they had during this entire stretch, but Socha's out. He's not going to manage this year. That is an incredible number. Just by comparison, sheer comparison alone, as a Giants fan, you have had that level of stability within your organization for the last decade plus. There are franchises that would give anything for that, right? Anything. You don't think the Dolphins would like a little bit of consistency? You don't think the Orlando Magic or the Edmonton Oilers would like a little bit of consistency? They're not even trying to win titles. They would just like to be relevant for a few years.
Even think about the top of the barrel for all these sports. Like the Yankees don't have that level of stability. The Red Sox have had more managers than that. You mentioned Mike Socha as the only other manager with the same tenure. He's got 1,650 wins, and he's got just the one World Series. So you look at Bochy, an extra 300-plus victories and two World Series titles. And there's other guys up there like Dusty Baker, Lou Piniella. We just talked to Jim Leland. All epic, long-standing, great managers, but they all had multiple stops, and they didn't win as many World Series as Boch.
Man, you ever drive around this town and feel like you don't have it good as a sports fan? Someone's just slap you. Not actually, because there's a crime and society today would really have a problem with that, but just, you know, metaphorically slap you. Imagine being a fan in Minnesota, in Washington, D.C. I know they just got the Capitals Stanley Cup, but damn, dude, I've done these research projects with how long the cities with four major sports have gone without winning titles. And this place here, it's just one dynasty shifts over to another. Like, sure, you can get upset about the Niners, but you had your run in the 80s and the 90s. Harbaugh was fun, but just when it got awful, the Giants were crushing. And then when the Giants kind of tailed off, the Warriors started crushing. Like, it's really very fortunate to be from here and be a sports fan in this town. Like, Minnesota, they get nothing.
No.
What's their big news this year? Carl Anthony Towns went to the All-Star game and threw down a dunk. Nice. No one's excited about the Twins, I'll tell you that much. Anyone excited about the Vikings? They had that one nice run. They got to the NFC Championship and then donked off.
Gary Anderson.
And then you brought in his boy that he thinks is going to change the world, and I told him he wouldn't.
Kirk Cousins. We had a nice show going before anyone fired a shot at one another.
And I never once said that Kirk Cousins would go to Minnesota and light the world on fire. I simply said that he'd go 8-8 in Washington, which he didn't do, and so I didn't get a year's supply of kale. It's interesting that you would go there at this late hour.
Yeah, it was a pretty friendly, amicable show as we reflected on Bochy all day.
Yeah, you called him my guy, which I've never met Kirk Cousins. I don't even know if he's on Mount Cousins more. I'd put my cousin Rachel, shout out Amsterdam,
Boogie,
and cancer research, absolutely, without a doubt. So for you to go wildly out of your lane to take a shot at me, I just want the fans out there to just go ahead and bookmark this one for the next time we get the text of, oh, you're so rough on low, he's so fragile.
In Dibs' defense, he let you do that whole Hall of Fame rant, which was obviously you trying to make the case for yourself to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But we just let that slide. And we actually backed you up and said, sure, things should change. We could have easily been like, here we go.
Earlier today, there were several times that there was
tough beat coming here, but we are all out of time.
You like that?
Beat. I'll be the first to admit it's a tough beat for you, but a beat nonetheless. John Morosi on the latest with Bryce Harper. Even with the news of Bochy's retirement, is Harper still in play for the Giants? When can we finally expect a signing? Which reminds me that we may have a funeral coming as well, based on a projection regarding when Bryce Harper would sign. So we've got a funeral coming next. We've got John Morosi, and then Larry Bear, mark it down, Giants president and CEO Larry Bear at 9:35. Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.